Good evening. I'm Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this fifth Sunday of Easter, Year B. Our readings today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, Psalm 22. The first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, and the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we are Your people, not because we are worthy, but by Your grace alone. We are Your people who have come in joy and thanksgiving. We are Your people, and we have come to praise You. We are Your people, and we have come to give You the worship You deserve. We are Your people, and we have come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, Your name is holy. Your will for us is perfect. And Your loving presence fills every corner of our lives. We know that the riches of Your love expose the poverty of our lives. So easily we are tempted to please ourselves, to see even worship as something for our own personal blessing, and to be offended when we are not thanked or praised. And so we ask that this act of worship will draw us all closer to Christ and make us more ready to be servants of the servant King. Amen. We pray the collect for the fifth Sunday of Easter, followed by the Easter anthem, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, Grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Christ's own Passover has been sacrificed for us, so let us celebrate the feast, not with the own level of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. In dying, he died to sin once for all. In living, he lives to God. See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The True Vine and the Branches. The True Vine and the Branches. In the day of Jesus, vineyards would have been a familiar sight for the people. They would have passed vineyards while they were walking from place to place. Some of them would have worked in or even owned vineyards. They would have been able to discern fruitful branches from those that will drain the vine's energy. They knew the important practice of cutting off unfruitful vines, which drain the vine and therefore serve no useful purpose, and pruning the fruitful vines and branches to make them more fruitful. Those who were familiar with the Old Testament would also know that in it, Israel was referred to as God's vineyard, and the vine was a symbol used for Israel, the people of God. In Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, the psalmist writes, "You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleaned the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land." In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the prophet speaks, "My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleaned it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes." Verse 5. "And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste." In verse 7, the prophet says, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting." He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The prophet Ezekiel describes the inhabitants of Jerusalem as the wood of the vine, which can be used for nothing except firewood. The prophet says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will set my face against them. Although they escape from the fire shall consume them, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have acted faithlessly, says the Lord." Ezekiel chapter 15, verses 6 to 8. Therefore, when Jesus says to his disciples in the last of his I am statements, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower," John 15, verse 1, he is using an image that was very familiar to the disciples. Jesus as the true vine implies that there are false vines, false gods, false prophets, false individuals who will invite people to turn away from Jesus, the true vine, and lose their faithfulness in life. Jesus identifies the important work of the Father, the vine grower. He points out that they are mutually dependent on each other. The vine, the Son, depends on the vine grower, the Father, for its care and fruitfulness, while the Father depends on the Son for its produce, faithfulness. Each gives life to the other and takes life from the other. The Father, the vine grower, enhances the productivity of the vine. He removes every branch in me, Jesus said, that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. John 15, verse 2. The Father prunes, a process that is faithful, that is painful, but beneficial. A truth that we need to remember as we face painful situations in life. We are called to use those occasions of pain to bring us into a closer relationship with God, to learn the lesson which painful situations present, and increase our faith and trust in God, whom John affirms in his first letter is love, and who first loved us. God's love caused God pain when the Father had to be separated from the divine presence of the Son to enable the Son to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world, your sins and mine. The Father endured the pain of the crucifixion out of love for us. The Son endured the pain of crucifixion out of love for us. So while we experience the pain of pruning, let us learn from the experience and acknowledge that the experience of pain is to increase our fruitfulness as branches of the vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. This is a reality check for us. We would all like to feel that when our journey of life is complete, that we would have made some small contribution to God's plan for humankind. We would all like to believe that our lives had some meaning for someone and that our legacy would make a difference to others. If that is to be achieved, we are invited by Jesus to be branches of the true vine. It is not a command, it is an invitation. The response depends on us. If we desire to bear fruit, good fruit on our life's journey, we have to be branches of the true vine. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, Jesus says in verse 4. The word used for abide can also be translated remain. We are invited to remain in Christ, to have a permanent, meaningful relationship with Christ, to know Him, to love Him, to be committed, to be faithful to Him, to live by His word, to follow His teachings, and obey His commands. What is His command to us? To love one another as He has loved us. As we abide and remain in Him, He will, through the Holy Spirit, enable us not only to love our brothers and sisters whom we have seen, but also to love God whom we have not seen. As disciples of Christ in today's challenging world, we can assess our status as disciples by our ability to show love to others, bearing in mind that love is not a matter of theory or talk. True love expresses itself in action. To what extent do we love each other, bearing in mind that the vine grower and the true vine are the source of love? The Father, the vine grower, has demonstrated love by sending the Son into the world. The Son, the vine, has demonstrated His love by dying on the cross to enable us to receive forgiveness of our sins. The Son in love has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to bear the fruit of love. We know the quality of the branches by the quality of the fruit they bear. How much of the love of Christ have we as branches of the true vine allowed to reach us through the Holy Spirit? The hymn writer reminds us, they will know we are Christians by our love. By our fruit, they will know if we are really attached to the true vine. Let us pray that God will so attach us to the true vine that we will continuously bear the fruit of love, and the pruning that we will experience will make us more faithful and more fruitful. Amen. Let us pray. Open our eyes, O God, that we may see the deepest needs of people. Move our hands, that they may feed the hungry. Touch our hearts, that it may bring warmth to the despairing. Teach us the generosity that welcomes strangers. Let us share our possessions to clothe the naked. Give us the care that strengthens the sick. Make us share in the quest to set prisoners free. In sharing our anxieties and our love, our poverty and our prosperity, we partake of your divine presence. In Jesus' name, Amen. O Lord, open our eyes that we may see the needs of others. Open our ears that we may hear their cries. Open our hearts so that they need not be without our help. Let us not be afraid to defend the weak because of the anger of the strong, nor afraid to defend the poor because of the anger of the rich. Show us where love and hope and faith are needed, and use us to bring them to these places. Open our eyes and ears that we may, this coming week, be able to do some work of peace for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say a prayer in the face of COVID-19. Lord Jesus Christ, you travel through towns and villages, curing every disease and illness. You have been with us as we face hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes, in all our poverty and pain. Come to our aid now as we face the global spread of the coronavirus. Be with us in this time of anxiety, uncertainty, and sorrow. Heal those who are sick with the virus. Be their comfort and strength. May they regain their health through quality medical care. Deliver us from panic and fear, which prevent nations from working together and people from helping one another. Be with the doctors, nurses, researchers, and all medical professionals who seek to heal and help those affected and who put themselves at risk in the process. May they know your protection, your wisdom, and your peace. Be with the families of those who are sick or have died as they worry and grieve. Defend them from illness and despair. May they know your peace. Be with the leaders of all nations. Give them the foresight to act with charity and true concern for the well-being of the people they are meant to serve. Give them the wisdom to invest in long-term solutions that will help prepare for and prevent future outbreaks. Through this period of anxiety and pain, bring us all to a stronger faith, wider charity, and a deeper appreciation of your active presence in our lives. Lord Jesus, hear us and heal us. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in that service, may God be above you to protect you, before you to guide you, beneath you to support you, within you to give you his peace, this day and forevermore. Amen. And may God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you today and always. Amen. And this week, in the face of the lockdown and the new restrictions, we pray that you will test positive for faith, keep your distance from doubt, isolate yourself from fear, trust in God through it all. And we pray that you will have a rewarding, productive, and spirit-filled week. Be safe.